Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I don't know where everyone is this morning, but welcome to those of you who are here. We're nicely spread out. That's what's happening. We're nicely spread out. Welcome, everyone. Let's open in prayer. Father God, thank you that we are gathered here together on this lovely sunny morning to come to worship and to praise you. Thank you for inviting us in, for calling us your children. Father, would you bless our time together? Would you make yourself known to us fully? And may we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing our first hymn. We'll get straight into it. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. And during this song, we'll take up this morning's offering. As always, if you haven't come prepared for the offering, just let the bags pass you by. I don't know where the bags are. Linda was waving them around earlier. Oh, there you go. Thank you. I saw you waving them around.
Yeah, we're
for your son that looks after you. Spending time with family, yeah? That's good. What colours of spring?
The sun's showing because it's not snowing.
Sunshine and spring. Yes?
Chocolate.
Chocolate. We praise God for chocolate.
Most definitely.
Praise God for who he is. Praise God for who he is, yeah. So let's pray then. Let's come to him with prayers of thanks and praise. Father, that there is so much that you give to us, so much that we are thankful for. We just rejoice that you are God, that you are loving, that you are gracious. We thank you for all that you give to us. For springtime and sunshine, and for rain when it's needed, and for friends and for family, and times of rest and relaxation, and so much more, Lord, that you give to us every day. And we thank you too for the ability to give back to you in our offerings. And I pray that you would bless those and use them for your glory in this place. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, family news. We'll come to prayer requests later, so if you have prayer requests, we will come to them a bit later on. But family news. There will be no Bible study this Wednesday. Oh, yeah. I will get you a microphone. Yeah. If you made that, I'll put it to you.
Just, I meant to bring a card in. I'm not sure what I've done with it. I think it's over there. It's a card from BMS, a big thank you card for the wonderful gift that we gave them. BMS scheme, the birthday scheme, this year. There's so many terrible things going on all around the world. There's some needy places, and the BMS birthday scheme actually serves in the way that they provide medical help to all those in desperate need in the very poor countries. Thanks again. I'll leave the card and the letter up on the top there if you want to read it. It's wonderful. Where they're thanking this church for their generous gift at Christmas. Thank you.
News. No Girls Brigade this week, Easter holidays. No Bible study. Also Easter holidays, we will return after Easter. We finished the book that we were on, and it just seems like a nice time to have a break. Team chat's still on? Yeah, okay. Don't think there's anything else.
Don't forget Greenie. Bring and share meal after the service. It's called our meal.
Yeah.
So, if anybody would like to come through into the hall,
yeah. We'll sing your special song later on.
And
yeah.
Help to put tables out and lay tables and set the food out. Please do. Don't linger in here or come through into the hall.
Thanks, Renee. Now, did anyone notice what just happened while Renee was talking?
Yes.
What happened?
Chloe
interrupted. She got a glare from Kate. Chloe interrupted. Was what Renee was saying important?
Yes.
There was a pause there.
I'm not sure who you're talking to.
was what Chloe was saying important?
I don't know.
It was important to Chloe. And I interrupted really and talked to Chloe. I'm not quite sure who interrupted who. Chloe interrupted me, I interrupted really. What do we think? Do we think that was a good thing to do? No? No, don't like being interrupted? No? Our story today contains an interruption. Jesus was in the middle of something very important and he was interrupted. And I just wanted you to think for a minute about how that might have been for the people involved. So thank you, Chloe. And she wasn't being rude, really. And we really did know she was going to do it. It was all a setup. But first we're going to sing that song for Chloe because she does love it, don't you? Do you want the microphone? No, you're going to come up here and sing with me. My Lighthouse. We haven't had that one for a while, have we?
I'm learning it gradually.
We have lots to praise God for, don't we? Well, that song starts with the line, in my wrestling and in my doubts, and that's part of our life too. We're going to hear a story in a moment about a man who must have had a lot of wrestling and doubts. The Bible doesn't tell us much about him, but I'm sure that they would have been there all the same. I want to tell you a story about a man who's a ruler in the synagogue. And we're going to hear it in his own words. Well, almost. And Dad's going to play it on the audio. So you might shut your eyes and listen and picture what he's talking about.
I'll never forget that day. First day of my life. There was my little girl lying in bed and so sick. We tried everything. The doctors came and shook their heads. We fasted, prayed, hoping God would step in. And nothing. She hadn't moved. She hadn't eaten. She hadn't drunk anything. She was dying. We all knew it. But we hoped against hope that something would happen to save her. Someone came in and told us about this miracle worker who was in town. Some of the Pharisees, I know, had been arguing with him about what we should and shouldn't be doing. I've been a bit preoccupied with my family to worry too much about it. But it sounds like he doesn't follow all the laws in the ways he should. But other stories say he has made sick people well. He's cast out demons. He's even made a paralysed man walk. Whatever the rights and wrongs of it, I'll try anything right now. This isn't some abstract problem of the law. This is about my daughter's life. I sent them to find out where he was. And while I waited, I watched her. She got worse and worse. In the end, I couldn't stay in the room any longer. As I left the house, the mourners were already starting to gather. I could hear the wailing and the singing for a long time as I walked slowly down the road, waiting for my servant man to return. As soon as I knew where this miracle worker Jesus was, I went to him. I threw myself at his feet and begged for mercy upon my little girl. She was probably dead by then, for all I knew. But I had to try. If he was so great, he might still be able to help us. But time was important and we had to go straight away. He seemed to understand that at first. He got up and came with me willingly enough. Of course his disciples followed, and then everyone else. They all wanted to see what he was going to do. So we walked along in this big crowd. I didn't really care about anything but getting back to my daughter before it was too late. Maybe the sooner he came, the more likely he was to be able to cure her. So I was rushing him along. Suddenly there was a bit of a disturbance in the crowd. And Jesus had stopped. He was chatting to this woman. It's the thing that she had grabbed at him as he walked past. She was sick and she needed his help. Well, I get that, but I was there first. Why couldn't she just follow along everyone else and wait her turn? She was delaying us. And what if his power was limited? What if he didn't have enough to heal both her and my daughter? Or what if, perish the thought, what if he knew he couldn't save my daughter, so he wasted his time on this other woman to save face? I think I died myself then. That was it. It would be too late. My daughter was gone. This man wasn't interested. God didn't care. Seemed like an age. But then he turned and said, "Let's go." There was nothing I could do but lead him to my house. It was full of people, singing, wailing, mourning for my lost daughter. I was torn between wanting to join them and the faintest of hopes that he might still be able to do something. I didn't see what he could do, but he seemed confident. He said she was just asleep, even without seeing her. Like all these people didn't know of a dead body when they saw one. But still that flicker of hope wouldn't let me go, though I sent them away, as he said to do. I watched as he walked over to my daughter and took her hand. No magic words, no fuss, no fanfare. He just told her to stand up, and she did. I can't begin to describe my feelings. I could have collapsed myself. I'm sure when the crowd outside heard me wailing and crying, they thought Jesus had failed. I didn't care. I felt his hand touch me as he walked out of the room. I felt a peace that could only come from God. And with tears streaming down my face, I bent as my little girl's arms came around my neck, as I never thought I would feel again.
That's only one side of the story. And we're going to listen to the other side.
I'd been ill for a long time, 12 years in fact. I've never been particularly strong, but this has taken all my energy, physically and emotionally. They say a woman is unclean while she's bleeding. Can you imagine? 12 years of being unclean. 12 years of no one being allowed to touch me. Of not being able to go to the temple or the synagogue. Or even to pray. Of not being able to be a full part of society. Not just as a second-class citizen, I was that anyway from having been a woman, but seen as an outsider, a problem, a threat. Even the Gentiles have more rights than I do. I tried everything. Doctors, wise men, old remedies, new medicines. I'd spent all my money trying to stop the bleeding. Nothing worked. And then that fateful day, I heard a commotion outside. Crowds approaching. I looked out, and my neighbour said it was that miracle worker, Jesus. I'd heard about him. He was meant to be a man of God. I had to see him. He might be my only hope. My neighbour laughed. She said, I'd fall for any crackpot these days. Maybe she was right. I was desperate enough to try anything. But I was sure that this guy was different. Anyway, I didn't have time to think about it. He was coming. And by the looks of it, he was in a bit of a rush. I didn't want to bother him. If he was running off somewhere, he wouldn't have time to stop for me, a woman, and an unclean one at that. If his friends saw me, they'd keep me away too. But if I could get close enough, if I could just reach out and touch him as he went past, I just knew it was all I would need. I crept out of the house and waited behind a bush. There they were. He was coming. I recognised Jairus, the synagogue leader, hurrying Jesus along. They say his daughter's very ill. I guess that was where Jesus was going, but I wasn't going to stop him. I wouldn't be hurting anyone. When the crowds were on top of me, I stepped forward. I reached out just enough to touch his cloak before he rushed away. And I felt this amazing sensation run through my body. This was it. I was right. Just a touch from the man had stopped my bleeding. And I got away with it. He could go on and do whatever he was doing. I started to sail back through the crowd towards my own house. What to do now? I needed to see the priest to make plans to finally go to the temple and make my offering. After all this time, my heart leaped as I praised God inwardly for his mercy. Then I heard his voice. Stop.
It's okay.
I stopped. Everyone stopped. Who touched me? He said. Oh no, I'd been noticed. That wasn't supposed to happen. Everyone was looking around now, and I knew what they were looking for. They were looking for me. How did he know? I was so gentle, so quick, and now he was going to be late, and it was all my fault. And everyone was going to see that I, an unclean woman, had dared to touch the cloak of the godly miracle worker. That was the most nerve-wracking moment of my life. He asked again, who touched me? I knew I had to get it over with. I was trembling with fear and embarrassment as I stepped forward. I could only apologise for my presumption over and over. I'm sorry, I was so desperate. I didn't mean to stop you. I just wanted to touch your cloak that I might be healed of my bleeding. I don't know what I expected. Maybe he would push me away. The synagogue leader looked panicked at the delay, but Jesus just smiled. He told me my faith had healed me. I now felt this enormous sense of peace wash over me as he turned and continued his journey.
Jesus is here today. I wanted to share something with you. For most of my life, I lived in the secular world, and then I was past my 50th birthday when the Lord decided he'd had enough of that, and he decided to change my life. And I feel privileged that he should have done the same. Shook me, and I was given the gift of faith, and I've never wavered since that day. And going back to about the mid-1990s, shortly after I was given that gift of faith, I had this overwhelming urge to travel to another country, to go to a convention, a Christian convention, and with a group of other Christians. And whilst I was there, they found out that I was quite good at photography. So I was elected to be the photographer, which I didn't mind. And they had quite a few people there and dignitaries there. One of the people who was there was one of the great healers of the 20th century. His name was T.L. Osborne, Tommy Lee Osborne. I don't know whether any of you have heard of him. He was one of a group like Billy Graham, etc. But he was there, and I was asked if I'd take a photograph of him, an archbishop, bishops and some other dignitaries. So I think there were about six of them all together. And I took the photographs.
Now, before I go on to the rest of the story, I'd like to mention that I had injured my arm some years previously, torn the ligaments. It was painful. Every time I tried to use a hammer or a saw, I really couldn't do it without a great deal of pain. Doctors said I couldn't do anything if I had an operation, it would heal in the wrong way, and I'd probably get more pain. So I put up with it for quite a few years. Anyway, I've taken these photographs, and suddenly T.L. Osborne said, "The man who's taking the photographs, come over here. Give him your camera." And there was a chap called Simon. "Give Simon your camera, and he will take a photograph. I want you, with us, being photographed." And I thought, why me? But I went out there as he was instructed. I've still got the photograph, actually. And I stood next to T.L. Osborne. And as I was standing there, my right hand was there, or my arm was there, and he took hold of my right hand and held my hand, and I felt a little uncomfortable to begin with. And then I felt this feeling of peace come all over me. And the thought that went through my mind is, this is what it must have been like to stand next to Jesus.
I actually thought that.
I can remember it clearly. And the photograph was taken, and I had this feeling of peace there. He let go of my hand, and I walked away. And I felt different somehow. But for that moment, my arm was healed. I'd never mentioned my arm already. But my arm was healed, and I've never had any pain in my arm since. And I think that was a miracle. And as I was listening to the sermon today, that suddenly came back to me. And I just had this feeling that that miracle was there for me to share with other people. So I've shared it with you today. Jesus is here with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gil.
There is one more person that I want to hear from. And that's one of those who watched these events that we've had, well, not Neil's, but the other two events that we've heard about unfold. And it's even easier because he literally does tell us the story in his own words. So Linda's going to read to us from the Gospel of Matthew.
While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and the people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region.
I wonder who in the story you might identify with. We've already heard Neil's testimony. But which of these people is most like you? We have the synagogue leader, Jairus. He's been pleading with God for his daughter and doing everything he can to save her. But it seems like his prayers are going unanswered. He comes to Jesus in desperation, even though it seems too late for anyone to be able to help, hoping against hope that this time it might be different. Is that you? Is Jesus your only hope when life itself seems to be failing? Know that he is the Lord, the giver of life, not only here but in eternity. Know that your prayers don't go unheard, even though the answer seems to be delayed. That he will come in his time and do his work in your life and in the lives of those you love. We have the daughter. She's too weak to play much of a part in the story, even though she's central to it. She can't come to Jesus herself, but is connected to him through those who love her. We all have times when we're too weak to pray. When there's nothing we can do for ourselves, no way we can get ourselves out of our situation. And we can't even bring ourselves to God. Thank the Lord for those friends and family who pray on our behalf, who hold us before him and ask for his mercy when we can't. Thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit who prays within us with groanings that words cannot express when we're unable to pray ourselves. And know that he hears the prayers of others when we're unable to utter our own. We have the lady who is bleeding, prevented by her situation from coming to God as she might want to. On the outskirts of society, pushed away, unclean, unwanted, unwelcome. So she prays in her home with no sacrifices to offer. She's done all she humanly can, exhausted every possibility, and yet sees an opportunity when she sees Jesus. In him she finds a new hope, a way she can be restored. Do you know how she feels? The desperation, the chronic illness, the separation from society. Are you prepared to reach out, to take hold of whatever part of Jesus you can get and know his acceptance and his blessing? It doesn't automatically promise physical healing, but he does provide a way back to relationship, to God, to participation, to community. And we have the bystanders, the disciples marvelling at Jesus' works, not always understanding the hows and whys and wheres, but rejoicing at what they see. Or the mourners laughing in the face of the one who comes to bring life in a house of death. Do we ever deny the power of God when he wants the work because the situation seems impossible? Or do we trust and hope and worship him as the one who can do anything, the miracle worker, the Son of God? Do we encourage others to come to him in their desperation, assuring them of his love and welcome even in their fears and doubts? Do we keep watching for what he's doing in our lives and the world around, rejoicing in his every deed and following his every word? We all have a part of this story. We all, if we don't seek Jesus for ourselves, have the opportunity to seek him on behalf of others, to help or to hinder their receiving from him. I can believe in this story how easy it was for the synagogue ruler to get through the disciples to get an audience with the famous miracle-working rabbi, and how difficult it might have been for the unclean woman to do the same. But Jesus recognised them both, welcomed them both, responded to them both. In Christ there is no rich or poor, male or female, slave or free. There are only people, children of God, holy and dearly loved. And Jesus won't turn away any who come to him in faith. So let us pray. Lord, thank you for this story. Thank you for the love shown to those who needed you, for your power at work in their life, for your welcome of those who came to you. May we too come to you in our hour of need. Encourage us as we pray those prayers that don't seem to be answered. Help us to know that we are heard and we are loved, and give us strength to keep going and not to give up. May we bring to you those we love. May we show your hope and your welcome to the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we'll continue in prayer. So let's pray. Lord, thank you that you want us to come to you when we are in need. That you want us to bring to you those people that we love, who need your touch. And even though we might not always know the details of all of their issues and the details of everything that they need, we know that you know. For us, that seems like a list of names. For others of us, some of those names are very personal. But we join together in lifting them to you, who knows each situation, who knows each heart, who knows each need. Lord, would you touch them? Would you heal them, strengthen them, give them your peace? Give them a renewed and deepened relationship with you. And Lord, we pray for those situations in the world that seem so impossible, so beyond human control. And we trust that you are the God of miracles, that you can bring peace in the conflict, that you can bring provision where there is famine, that you can bring hope where there is no hope. Lord, we pray for your kingdom to come. Your kingdom of love and peace and plenty. Because you are a loving and giving God. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, as we pray, we come not in power demanding our own way, but in humility asking for your help. We come as a desperate parent, lover, friend, begging for your blessing on those we love. We come weak and helpless to touch the edge of your cloak. But we come in the knowledge that we are known and loved by you. Some of those we've prayed for a long time. And yet we don't give up hope, knowing that you're willing and able to work in their lives. Some are new situations in which we trust in your power and your goodness to act and to bring wholeness and blessing. So Lord, would you touch each one, healing, cleansing, resolving, restoring as only you can. And fill us too with a love and desire and wisdom to do our part, to bring about your will on earth. Amen. So we sing our final hymn, Beauty for Brokenness.
Thank you. Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit,